think of video games, and it's likely that images of fantasy worlds full of shooters, dragons, and space aliens come to mind. But there's a whole new generation of video games out there which deal with real crises in the real world. All Together Now's Bettina Gregory checks out some of the games which are a medium for social change instead of mindless fun.
I'm sitting here at my computer playing a video game called Darfur is Dying. I've taken on the role of a little girl. She's named Abok and she's 12. She lives in a refugee camp in drought-stricken Sudan. She must get out, find water, and get back before the militiamen capture or kill her. The situation is even more dangerous for her mother.
The research that we were coming up with was sort of telling the stories of how mothers have to routinely leave the confines of the camps.
Susana Ruiz, a graduate student at USC, used real-life stories to develop Darfur is Dying. And the reality is grim. When I spoke to Susana in California by phone, she pointed out, in fantasy games, characters who get shot down often spring back to life. But if your character gets killed in Darfur is Dying,
he or she is gone forever. So we did not want to overwhelm the player, the target audience of young people. We did not want to overwhelm them with a lot of context, but we did want to little by little sort of help them understand this is mirroring a tragedy that's happening in the real world.
MTV issued the challenge for this game to be developed. Anyone can go to the MTV website and play the game for free. In the first 4 months, 800,000 people played it. Well, this surprised game developer Susana Ruiz, but not nearly as much as the number of people who took action after playing it.
I will say that one of the outcomes of this piece has resulted in tens of thousands of individuals writing letters to members of their government. And as involved as I am in the subject matter, I would never have been able to achieve that myself. So that's the power of the internet and the power of, I think, an interesting game experience.
Suzanne Segerman is a catalyst for developing video games which foster social change, and she's based in New York.
I think people have known that video game technology is capable of a lot more.
I visited Suzanne in her loft, located in the Soho section of downtown Manhattan, and asked her why this new type of game is getting so popular.
There's been a sort of collective understanding that games are capable of more, and a part of what our organization, which is called Games for Change, is interested in doing, is harnessing some of that power of the technology for social good.
Social good, that's a big, huge category. What specifically are you trying to achieve?
Yeah, we actually don't make any games. We are, one press person called us the Sundance of video games. So what some of the people are in our community are looking at are real-world issues, the things that we care about, the things that documentaries, for instance, and TV have been addressing for years. And now video games are one more tool in the toolkit.
Suzanne told me that one of the most successful of these activist games is Food Force. It's a game developed by the United Nations to address the problem of world hunger.
2 million people downloaded it in the first 2 months. That's a very big number.
That's high. That's very
a lot. And you can fly the helicopter, you can manage your food rations, you can do all sorts of things in the field acting as a humanitarian. But for me, the most interesting thing for Food Force for me is that kids who play may be inspired to become humanitarians.
Barry Joseph is the online leadership director for Global Kids.
Global Kids is a 17-year-old New York City-based educational organization. We work after school throughout the city, working with youth in after-school programs to develop their abilities to become critical thinkers about global issues and to develop their leadership skills.
How are you using game technology in order to further this goal?
Over the past year, we've worked together with both our students and the game developers to make a game called Aiti, The Cost of Life. In this game, you manage a family of five, two adults and three kids, over a period of 4 years. And your job is to figure out how to survive in this situation of abject poverty.
Barry, tell me a little bit more about this Aiti. Was this your idea, or was this something the kids themselves came up with? Tell me a little bit about the genesis.
The idea totally came from the young people. What upset them the most? What did they want other young people to know about? And they decided that poverty as an obstacle to education was something that they were concerned about. So working with the game developers, we then had to decide, well, what's going to be our example? Are we going to look at a country in Africa? Are we going to look at the situation in China? Or are we going to look at in our own backyard? One of the wonderful things about games is that they engage you by giving you a problem or a challenge, and that's what sucks you in. It's very important for young people to learn what's being called 21st century skills. These are skills that often they're not finding in schools. How do you understand the complexity of how systems and the parts of systems interrelate? How do you understand how you not only learn something, but how you teach yourself to learn something else related to it? Many of the things that you can learn by making games and playing games prepare young people for the kind of education that's required to succeed in the workplace.
As I started investigating these games designed to promote social good, I learned that they are really an offshoot of the growing market for serious games. I called Jason Dobson in Oklahoma. Jason writes for SeriousGameSource.com. Jason told me that most serious games are created for training purposes, especially for the military. One of the most popular games is called America's Army.
Opposing forces eliminated.
Well, America's Army, it was developed as kind of a recruitment tool for the military and, you know, put out on the internet and people could download it. And it's just a first-person shooter, military soldiers versus terrorists. It's very much like a traditional off-the-shelf shooter game, but it has other agendas, so to speak, so that it tries to present the Army in a fashion that the player, it might encourage recruitment.
There's no data yet to assess how effective serious games are or whether activist games are really changing the world one player at a time. But using game technology to give people a virtual version of real-world experience is a positive trend and one that's here to stay.
I'm hoping I'm not a little biased since I, you know, spend my days writing about serious games, but I really do think that they are making a difference. And then as far as connecting us, I mean, a lot of the games are presenting real-world situations in an interactive light that multiple people can participate in. And if that can inspire real-world participation in solving real-world problems, I think serious games have done their job. And that's what I really foresee that is going to happen.
Reporting for All Together Now, I'm Bettina Gregory.
Thank you for listening to All Together Now. All Together Now is sponsored by Cisco. If you'd like more information on today's show or future segments, you can find it at cisco.com/go/alltogethernow. On the next segment of All Together Now, we look at how some inventive web heads are testing the limits of web commerce. Don't miss it. Thanks for joining me. I'm Charles Zewie.